Our sermon is based on a continuation of a reading, the reading we heard earlier from Nehemiah. And now we're in chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he mocked the Jews. He said in the presence of his associates and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore things? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "That stone wall they are building, any fox going up on it would break it down. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their taunt back on their own heads and give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover their guilt, and do not let their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have hurled insults in the face of the builders." Thank you, God, for your words of encouragement and endurance, persistence and perseverance. Well, we've made it all the way through to the letter S in our Through the Bible A to Z sermon series. This has been a lot of fun for me, at least. I've learned a lot about different characters in the Bible, and I've enjoyed telling you about them too, and hopefully giving you insights for your own spiritual journeys. All along, I've made it a point to point out biblical people who are more often than not overlooked in the stories we hear and read so often without paying in-depth attention sometimes. A mere mention here, a passage in passing there, it all goes to show us there is a wealth of wisdom and an intriguing cast of characters throughout the Bible, and they're worth finding out about. I focus mainly on people in the Old or First Testament, but perhaps if you'd like me to, next year I can move on to the New Testament and go through it A to Z as well. Today we're going to look at someone whose annoying antics were designed to deter the returning exiles from their task of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. You may think at first that Sanballat was a guy from centuries ago, but I'm going to show you something. Sanballats are all around us even today. They're the people who disparage and discourage us, who tell us we're not good enough or smart enough or even religious enough. For whom? For them. In Nehemiah's story, however, we receive a wonderful weapon to counteract the negative noisemakers' efforts to put us down and keep us down. Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king, living in exile in Persia. Some visitors came from Judah, so he asked them how things were going in Jerusalem. They told him the wall had been broken down and the gates burned. The news shook Nehemiah to his core. The king noticed his distress and asked him what was wrong. Nehemiah told him the city he loved was in ruins, and the king showed concern. He asked Nehemiah, "What do you want?" Nehemiah asked to be allowed to return to Judah to rebuild the wall. The king was happy to grant his request, but Sanballat was not at all pleased when the exiles began working on the wall around Jerusalem. I suspect it was because, as a leader of the Samaritans, Sanballat wasn't too keen on having their ancient enemies resume their family feud and reclaim their homeland. Sanballat and Tobiah and all their other associates thought if there were more Israelites, there would be less power for them. Sanballat probably would have liked nothing more than to attack the working Israelites and destroy their wall. But the king of Persia had sent letters to local rulers to ensure Nehemiah's safe journey home. He also sent a letter to the keeper of the king's forest, directing him to give Nehemiah timber to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the walls of the city, and for the house that Nehemiah planned to live in. All this was a royal way of saying, "Leave these people alone." So, unable to physically assault Nehemiah and his fellow workers, Sanballat and his cohorts resorted to rather childlike insults. "Those weak fools, that wall is so feeble, if even a fox climbed on it, it would fall down. They're using bricks from the rubbish heap. Do they really think that wall is going to stand if they build it with burned bricks?" You know, words do hurt. Words do have power. Imagine working on the wall with Nehemiah and all the others, and all the day long these other people are standing around hurling insults, laughing, sneering. It can be hard to keep your spirits up in the face of such hostility. Sambalat and all the others were trying to sow seeds of doubt in the Israelites' minds and hearts. They wanted to make them look at their work and think, they're right. This is futile. This wall will never be any good. Maybe we should stop now, quit while we're ahead. Then, with their will already weakened by the nonstop hassling, the people got discouraged about the work. It never seemed to end. They never seemed to make any headway. So Sambalat started threatening them physically. Nehemiah ordered everyone to keep their weapons handy as they worked. Part of the workforce would guard the others that were working. His strategy worked. The Israelites were never attacked, and they finished the wall in just 52 days, despite Sambalat's efforts at tearing them down. There are Sambalats all around us. We've all had our fair share of encounters with real-life bullies. But what would you say if I told you the biggest Sambalats of our lives are in our own heads? One of my dearest seminary professors, Lauren Broadus, now of sacred memory, used to say that we all have this tape recording constantly playing in our heads. You'd hope it was a recording of someone's voice telling you good things. Oh, you're so smart. You're such a good student. You're a hard worker. You're kind. You're capable. But more often than not, it's a voice much like Sambalat's tearing you down as you're struggling to build yourself up. That's a stupid idea. That's not going to work. You might as well give up now. You'll never amount to anything. Dr. Broadus said you can never erase that tape recording. It pops up and plays in your head when you least expect it or want it to. And if you start listening to it and taking in the put-downs and the snarls and the downright ugliness, it can really get to you and make you decide it's right. Your ideas are stupid. Your efforts are futile. You might as well give up. How sad it is to realize that many, many people succumb to that horrible tape playing over and over in their heads, and they let it convince them to give up trying or to not try at all. So if you can't turn it off or erase that recording, how can you counter it? How can you counter the Sambalats all around you trying to make you feel bad about yourself? Nehemiah shows us how. When Sambalat at first confronted him, demanding to know why he was rebelling against the king, Nehemiah stood up to him, but not in his own power. Nehemiah invoked the power of God to give him the courage to face Sambalat. The God of heaven will give us success, he said, as he shooed Sambalat away. All throughout the book bearing his name, Nehemiah turned again and again to God with an unshakable faith. When Sambalat started hurling his insults at him and his workers, Nehemiah prayed, asking God to intervene for them. He knew they could only handle their harassers with the strength of God. Do not be afraid of them, he told the people. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. When Sambalat tried to trick Nehemiah into meeting him and his buddies so they could attack him, Nehemiah prayed again, now, O God, strengthen my hands. He told Sambalat, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. And he didn't. Nehemiah was always keenly aware of the good hand of his God upon him. God had made the king sympathize with him so he could return to Jerusalem to work. God had blessed him with his willing, strong workers. What made an even bigger and better difference was that Nehemiah and his crew were not doing their great work for their own glory. They were doing it for God's glory. And you know, whenever you do something to bring attention and honor to God, it's going to be blessed. So there is Nehemiah's lesson for us as we battle the Sambalats all around us. We turn away from them and we turn to God. We remember the Lord who is great and awesome. We call upon God to intervene with the noisy naysayers, and we ask God to strengthen us to continue building. We need to speak as boldly as Nehemiah to all our Sambalats. They're bullies. They'll fade away when you show them you're not afraid of them, when you show them you trust God to protect you and prosper you, just as God did for Nehemiah. When the wall was finished, the people certainly celebrated. They had a big parade and a big party. When their enemies heard of it, they were afraid because they realized this work had been accomplished with the help of the Israelites' God, and there was nothing they could do against Yahweh. The people sang and feasted, remembering something else Nehemiah had said, The joy of the Lord is your strength. Even as personal Sanballat assails you, I want you to remember how Nehemiah handled his Sanballat. He stood strong and firm in the Lord. He called on God to be with him and against them. And of course, today, remembering Jesus, we're admonished to pray for our enemies and for those who are spiteful and try to belittle us children of God. So of course, remember to pray for your Sanballats and never let them knock down the wall of faith on which you stand. When that tape begins playing, let your prayer to God echo Nehemiah's, strengthen me and give me hope. And you will indeed feel the good hand of your God upon you, leading you forward, giving you the power to resist and continue doing the work God has given you. And all the Sanballats will slink away. Like Nehemiah, you are doing a great work, and you cannot and you will not come down. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? So shut up, all you Sanballats. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let us pray. We are your children, God. And sometimes we are surrounded by Sanballats. They seek to throw us off our game, knock us off our stride, put down our hard work, and make us doubt ourselves, and even sometimes doubt you. We have been like the wall at Jerusalem, broken and defenseless, so we turn to you to put us back together, stronger than before. Help us always remember you have formed us, and you have shaped us, and you are walking and working right alongside us. We, your servants, will rise and build. Remember us, O God, for good, forever and ever. Amen.
I boast not of works, nor tell of good deeds, for not have I done to merit his grace. All glory and praise shall rest upon trophies, my crowns, my robe stained with sin, 'twas all that I had to lay at his feet, unworthy to feast from his table. I will glory. did.